taken from Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's amazing, isn't it, that we read this scripture passage and we encounter something that was a particular difficulty for Jesus, a particular difficulty for Christ. They were astounded. They were amazed because they knew him. And they were saying, "Wait a minute, we know him, we know his family, and now people are saying he's the Messiah?" And they weren't willing to accept that. They weren't willing to say that that could even be anywhere near the truth. They weren't willing to understand that this was happening even though they knew his mother and they knew his brothers and they knew his sisters. They weren't willing to accept the miracles that Jesus was performing as well. And then the scripture tells us that Jesus is amazed at their unbelief. Jesus is amazed at their unbelief. I think the reason that Jesus was amazed at the people of his hometown was that they did not have the capacity to dream. They did not dream that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the one who would change the world forever. They could not, they would not dream that that was possible. Someone they knew, someone they had seen grown up, that he is indeed God himself and that he would change the world forever. They couldn't capture that dream. They would not dream that this could be true. A few years ago, there was a very long article in Time magazine about the fact that the Pentagon was very concerned over the fact that many returning war veterans were having insomnia. And so it was becoming more and more of an issue and more of a problem. And so the Pentagon started looking into it and hiring officials and professionals to look into it because, you know, they're having to give all these veterans, returning veterans, you know, pills to make them sleep at night and all. And they were saying, you know, what's going on? We seem to have an epidemic of this going on. And they discovered in interviewing and finding out from them that basically the returning veterans were having nightmares of the war and nightmares of conflict and nightmares of people dying. And so it was keeping them awake at night. And so they hired a team of top psychologists who came up with a therapy. It's called Image Restructuring Therapy. Isn't that a neat name? Image Restructuring Therapy. And so the idea was that what they wanted the veterans to do that were having trouble with these nightmares that kept them awake at night and so they got to where they could not sleep was to sometime during their day to imagine, to think what they would like to dream when they went to sleep. To spend a few minutes, not like hours and hours and hours, to spend a few minutes each day thinking about and visualizing what they would prefer to dream about. And the reason this article was a big spread in Time magazine was that that worked. Who knew? That if you spent some time each day seriously focusing on what you would prefer to dream about, that somehow that changes your dreams. And they found that the veterans didn't have trouble, or the amount of them who had trouble with the nightmares decreased rather dramatically. Image restructuring therapy. Do you dream dreams? Do you stop and focus on what your dream is for Christianity, for the church, for your spiritual walk with God? Do you spend time going, I know where I am, and I'm dreaming about where I will be, where my Christianity will be? I'm having a vision of where I will be as a Christian, as a child of God. Do you dream dreams about that? Are you realizing that Christ is amazed at even our unbelief? Because so many times we don't dream dreams about who we can be as the children of God, who we can be as the church, the body of Christ, broken and given to the world. The impact, the change that we can make through the power of God's Holy Spirit on our community, on our world, not just on ourselves. Christ is amazed at our unbelief. The fact that, like his hometown, they could not dream that Christ was the one to change the world. So many times we do not dream about what Christ can do. If I were to dream dreams about what the Christian faith and what the Christian walk would be all about, the first thing I think on my item would be to dream the dream of an effective witness. How we witness Christ in the world, Christ in our lives, and how we witness that to the world, to our community, to others, so that they see unmistakably, to have an effective, powerful witness as to who we are and how we accomplish everything that we strive to do. Because so many times we take the very wonderful path of least resistance. And we say, yes, but you know, Christian witness, that can be a little difficult, and we don't necessarily want to do that. And so therefore, we take that path of least resistance and we blend in. And we make everything polite and comfortable instead of dreaming a dream of how your Christian statement can make a difference. And so many times in the church, we're too busy doing the opposite of dreaming of dream of how to change the world. Years ago, when my son Tyler was younger, probably 8, 9, 10, something like that, I took him on a canoeing ride on a boat. You know, we went out canoeing on Lake Illinois. I know you're sick of hearing about Lake Illinois. It's my favorite lake right there at Table Rock State Park and Highway 11, in case you don't know. But anyway, and so we went on a canoe. That was before I discovered kayaks. I much prefer kayaks. But anyway, we were on a canoe, and there was this branch, this sort of a small river that fed into Lake Illinois. And at that time, you could paddle a canoe up in there, and the branches of the trees were hanging over the little river, a little large creek, and you could paddle up and you could see the trout in the stream. It was very beautiful. And so we were doing that. And then as we got up, the little creek or our small river kept getting narrower, and you know, a canoe is sort of like big. And so I said, at this point, we need to try to turn this thing around. So we were maneuvering it and trying to turn it around. And we were doing a pretty good job until there was, you know, like I said, these branches hanging down. It was during the summertime, and they were very beautiful branches full of leaves. And so then our canoe hit one, which, you know, it's no big deal. Except it just so happened that 10 million spiders were on that branch at that time. I think I counted them. 10 million spiders. You believe me, right? 10 million spiders, little, not so little spiders, were there. So when our canoe hit it, guess what the spiders did? Every one of them, plus their neighbors, so it was probably 15 million, fell into our canoe. They all landed perfectly in our canoe. So we're like spiders everywhere. Well, I will pick up a snake, but I hate spiders. I do not like spiders. So there we were. We had managed to get turned around. Well, then we paddled very quickly to get out from there because I was afraid we'd hit another one and have another 10 million spiders in the canoe. And then we got back out into the lake. And then we realized the spiders were, of course, crawling all over us, which is just lovely. So then we both had paddles. We're out in the middle of the lake. So what do? You see a spider on your son, or your son sees a spider on you. We started whacking each other with our paddles. He stood up because he was small enough to stand up. I knew if I stood up, we'd go in the water. We could have gone in the water, which probably would have been the logical thing. We had a lot of life vests, but then we would have been real difficult to get back in the canoe. So instead, we were there in the middle of the lake. He's standing up, a 9-year-old boy, and I'm sitting down or on my knees, and we're whacking each other with the paddles. Whack, 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 whack. And we're just, you know, and also sort of screaming, too, because these spiders were everywhere. And so we were whacking each other and screaming. And I thought while we were doing that and we were not having great success, and we were whacking each other harder and harder trying to get the spiders off, and I thought, if anyone sees us, they're going to call the police and say, this man is abusing the son, but the son is getting back at him real good, you know, with his paddle. And I mean, it was horrible to see it, but we managed to get rid of the spiders without jumping in the lake. I don't know how. Maybe they all decided we were nuts and they swam for the shore. But it was impossible. And as funny as that is, I think that is the image that the world has of the church. We're all in the same boat. You know, the image of the church is the boat. So we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to get to a destination of being with God. And so many times, we're just there, middle of the lake, whacking each other with our paddles. Like we're the worst enemies, like that. And the world just sees that. And they go, well, there's the church. And they fight, and they bicker, and they fuss, and they whack each other, and they carry on. And that's our witness so many times. And it's so terribly sad because that's not what Christianity is all about. It's not what the church is all about. And I'm not saying Bethesda does that in particular. I'm saying the church, universal, is throughout the centuries has been very, very good at having battles within ourselves. And just think what that does to our witness. Just think of how Christ is amazed at how we fight with other Christians when we have so much to get accomplished. Christ is amazed at our lack of belief. But I think also that as the church and as Christians, many times we forget the importance of the message of God's beauty as a part of our Christian walk. We talk about grace and love and hope and joy, the joy and celebration of knowing God. And yet so many times that becomes way down the list of the important things of being a Christian, of walking with God each day, of having that time when you're with God and you know through prayer that you understand and you experience the peace of God. It's such a blessing, and God's blessings are very real, and God's blessings are always there for us. And it's such an amazing thing when we experience that, and yet so many times we fail to help people understand being a Christian is something that's filled with such amazing divine beauty. We're not here out of obligation. We're not here out of fear. We're here out of gratitude for all that God gives us, the strength, the ability to cope, the ability to know that God's with us, to feel that comfort and forgiveness, to understand all of those things. A friend of mine one time took me up on an airplane. It was a 1957 Cessna that he had refurbished. He didn't tell me it was a 1957 until we were up way in the sky, but it was beautiful. And he wanted me to see Lake Hartwell as the sun was setting and as the full moon was coming up. So he planned it just right. So on one side, the full moon was coming up. The other side, the sun was setting. And of course, Lake Hartwell looked amazing from that height. But then I realized the whole neighborhood, everything, looked amazing. All the streets looked neat and tidy, and the homes looked wonderful. You were too up high to see the dirt and the litter or anything else. And everything looked shiny and neat and beautiful and just as pristine as you would ever want it. And the whole world seemed to be ordered in perfection at that view, even though you knew when you got back the nitty-gritty it wasn't necessarily that way. But it looked wonderful. I think as Christians, we have that opportunity to see the larger picture above all the turmoil and chaos. We understand that God sees that larger picture, and God is there, and God is calling on us to understand the beauty of God's creation, to understand the beauty of walking with God, and to share that with others. I think Christ is amazed at our unbelief of the beauty of being a Christian and of sharing that with others. I think also that Christ is amazed at how so many times we don't have great confidence in our effectiveness to change things. I would hope that I would have an opportunity to dream a dream of being effectively able to change things forever, not just a temporary change, but to change things forever. If I was going to dream a dream for the church and for Christians and for who we are as Bethesda and who we are as Christians Universal, that we would have an effective ability to change things forever, to make things right, to bring things back, and change is so terribly difficult. I had a young man at my church years ago, and he had big problems with alcohol. And one day I saw him out walking on one of the streets, and I stopped and I said, "Oh, get in my car. Why are you walking?" And he got in the car and he said, "Well, I lost my car." I said, "Oh, you lost it. It got repossessed." He said, "No, I physically lost it." I said, "How do you lose a car?" And he said, "Well, you know, it was sort of late at night, and I guess maybe, I don't remember, maybe I ran out of gas, I don't know, but I found myself walking home, and then the next morning I realized I don't know where my car is." He said, "I don't have a clue where my car is." And I realized, of course, he was drunk and some reason got out of his car and couldn't remember where he'd left it. And this was pretty much a country setting. And so I told him, I said, "Well, I'll keep my eye on your car." So it took me about 3 days, and I was riding down another little country road, and there was his car on the side of the road, miles and miles away from the church and where he lived. And so then I called him and went, picked him up and said, "Here's your car." And I took him there, and it had gas, and so I don't know why he got out and walked. And the sad thing was, I knew that I'd helped him find his car, but I'd really not done anything to change him. I'd shown him Christian care and compassion and all that, but nothing I'd done was able to change him. He had to go through more things and had to work at understanding himself better to really bring about change. My dream is that as Christians, as a church, that we can change things, that we can make things happen, that we can accomplish these things that are out there before us. Christ is amazed when we simply say, "I can't make that change. I can't do that. These things are bigger than us." Christ is amazed at our unbelief. You know, Bethesda owes a good bit on our new building. And the trustees and the finance, the board of stewards are working hard at it. And we have a plan. And probably within 8 years, we'll have it paid off. And yet, the board of stewards, the finance committee, and trustees are all saying, why are we waiting 8 years? Let's go ahead and accomplish this so that the money that's going to pay the mortgage can be used in ministry to our community, in ministry to others, to bang the name of Christ into the world. They've captured a vision. They have a dream for what we can do together with God, together with Christ. Maybe then Christ will be amazed not at our unbelief as Christians, but that Christ will be amazed at what we accomplish when we truly believe, when we truly dream dreams. Let us pray.